production, 10 o'clock. What's going on? Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. And I'm Paul Allen. Welcome back. In studio guest here. Got another one. An elite football mind and a person I believe was breaking some stories this weekend. I'll get confirmation on that momentarily. However, it behooves us to remind you that it's time to fade the music and fire up the promotion. Thursday from 9 to noon, this radio show will be broadcasting live from Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights. This radio show from 9 until noon Thursday, Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights. It is the fans 9 to noon NCAA tournament draw party. Listen more closely. You will draw a team in the NCAA tournament, at least 32 of you will Thursday, 32 Friday, and the opportunity to win a high-definition television courtesy of Dos Equis is there for you. That's going to be Thursday. I don't want to confuse you too much about Friday, but Friday will be at Maynard's in Minnetonka. But let's focus on Thursday for right now. KFAN.com, keyword events for all the details. 32 teams will be drawn Thursday and 32 more Friday. So you're going to get a team. If your team wins the NCAA tournament, courtesy of Dos Equis and 9 to Noon Productions, you will win a high-definition television courtesy of Dos Equis. That is Thursday, and it will take place at Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights. Every team drawn also means the individual wins a free haircut from Sport Clips. Thursday, 9 to noon, Lucky 13's Mendota Heights radio show, opportunity to win an HDTV courtesy of Dos Equis.
Fowler.
Jeremy Fowler's the name. Covering the Vikings in the NFL is the game for the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. He tweets, it is at Vikings Now. Correct? At Vikings Now?
That's correct.
Good morning, Mr. Fowler.
Thanks for having me, PA.
Good to have you in studio, man. Got Mike Wobshaw over here. What's on your guys' mind right now?
Well, obviously, we Vikings cut a few guys this past weekend, Jeremy. And I don't usually get into what guys are on our website on Vikings.com, salary and how much salary cap space we have. I just don't get into that for a variety of reasons, some sensitivity issues and all that. But you can, and you were one of the first people to report it and talk about it. So what were the salary cap ramifications of those three moves? How much did they save? And now that the NFL came out with a salary cap at $120.6 million, do you know how much cap space the Vikings have?
Yeah, it looks like they have around $23 million of cap space right now. There were significant moves over the weekend. They shed almost $14 million in salary between Cedric Griffin, yeah, Steve Hutchinson, and Anthony Herrera, guys that started a great deal of games for this team. I mean, even Herrera and Griffin, both role players, started a combined 140 games for this team. Then you have Hutchinson, a five-time All-Pro. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was weeding out the Brad Childress era in a lot of ways, Rick Spielman making his mark moving forward, but they shed almost $14 million. The cap went from around a little more than $10 million in cap space to about $23 million or so.
Yeah.
Because Hutchinson was in the last year of his deal, so a lot of the bonus money wasn't really hurting their cap projection. Cedric Griffin had a little bit of like bonus proration, but mm-hmm, that's getting technical. So it looks like it's around $23 million. They're going to spend right now. I mean, I talked to some people inside the facility that were kind of like, well, we're not going to spend. We're getting younger. And, you know, we're not going to be major players, but I don't know. I mean, obviously these moves suggest that they're ready to at least make a move on one big fish.
Yeah. And I saw a report, I think it was from Florio, that the average cap space is like 14 or 16 million under the cap. And so the Vikings at 23 under, as you say, that would put them obviously in the upper half and perhaps put them in play for a guy or two.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look at the Vikings right now, because in the last 2 years, at least, it seems like they were a little strapped by having these bloated contracts for aging veterans.
And it happened because they went for it in 2009 and 2010, right?
Run, window of opportunity.
Yeah, and they paid Brett Favre, you know, a gazillion dollars for 2 years. So now here they are. They've shed some of those contracts. They're in a great place because, you know, they can get younger, but they can still be aggressive right now. That's why I feel like they'll find a balance. Mm-hmm. Between before when they just kind of spent frivolously or you know, they went after guys like Bernard Berry, and I think they're going to be a little wiser now, but, you know, they're still in play to be aggressive, so they'll probably find a middle ground between mm-hmm, between their past and their present.
I think clearly we have a theme here, and I'm not, you know, I anticipated one of the guards being cut for sure. There were some intriguing factors to both guards, even in their current situations. Cedric Griffin leaving, he became enigmatic and it just something went wrong with the whole thing. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Plus, you know, my belief is I put on my show page at KFAN.com, Cedric, a guy I like. I've always liked Cedric Griffin, just very easy to get along with for me. And, you know, I thought when he was healthy up to the start of overtime, 09 NFC title game, very good against the run, knew the plays, got burned a couple of times. You know, he's not a 9-interception kind of guy, but I thought he was pretty serviceable for your second cornerback. Then the knees went amiss. 09 NFC title game, then the next season, the other knee.
Yeah.
He just never was the same guy, and I think he sulked, and I think he lost confidence, and he's got that cap number and everything, so that doesn't surprise me. But Herrera played well at the end of the year, and I kind of knew that through the naked eye. You know, but then in doing some intel leading up to free agency in the draft, I kind of got confirmation on that from the inside that, yes, he did play well at the end of the year. And, yes, this is his first full offseason where he doesn't have to rehab a major injury.
Right.
So he can work on core strength and making his game better. And, yes, he is heading into a contract year, which you kind of always want to be on the right side of.
Right.
But the theme is youthful talent. I mean, they are absolutely looking to get younger all over the team and through the draft and through free agency.
Yep.
So, but with Hutchinson, too, you know, and you brought this up at the Combine, man, and when we had you on at the Combine, Jeremy, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. I think it was a great point, but obviously it was not the absolute accurate point. If you're going to take Matt Khalil third overall and you can get Hutchinson to go from 7 down to 2 and change on the renegotiation, which I think he would have done. Did it behoove you to have Hutchinson next to Khalil with Sullivan in the middle? Obviously, they didn't think that was as important as we did because they just flat let him go. They're going to use Charlie Johnson at left guard.
Right.
Charlie Johnson will be the left guard. And I would make Brandon Fusco favored for the right guard spot pending the draft. They're not going to bring in a guard via free agency. They all cost too much. So I'd make Fusco favored there. It's what Belichick would do. D2 guy from Slippery Rock. Just do what Belichick would do. Belichick would look at Joe Berger and say, nice, serviceable guy to have. I'm using the guy from Slippery Rock because he's feisty and nobody knows anything about him. So just do what Belichick would do and use Fusco. But the theme is youthful exuberance and talent, offensively and defensively. And I think that played into the cuts, and I think it plays into free agency.
Sure, you bring up Fusco. He's a sixth-round pick that Spielman found. You know, he's going to give his picks the benefit of the doubt, you know, because he's trying to develop talent that he believes in. And, you know, I actually was texting with Brandon the other day. He said, you know, watch out. I really feel like I'm going to surprise a lot of people this
year. Let's go!
And that will be interesting. But, you know, you still have Berger, who's serviceable.
Yeah.
And if you move Johnson to left guard, it's the process of elimination. Even if Herrera wasn't that big of a cap hit, I mean, he was only going to, you know, make about, well, only, I say.
3 and change?
Almost 3.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. You know, he fought through some injuries, but he's a fiery guy they respected. You know, I think he brought something different to the huddle.
Love him.
Right. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's a youth movement. And when you look at free agency, okay, I think age will be just as important as
agreed
as some other factors, like how many touchdowns a guy caught. Vincent Jackson caught 9 touchdowns last year. He's also 29.
Agreed.
I think 29 is more important than 9 for the Vikings.
Wobby.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Brandon Fusco, and I agree with what you guys are saying and what Brandon said. I think he's going to be the starting right guard, and I think he's going to be a guy to watch and a guy that emerges as a really good player for the
Let's
Vikings.
Let's go!
Jeff Davidson went
down
there. I
don't know if he's ready yet, though. I mean,
I don't either.
I think Berger will start. Whoa. Early on, but I think Fusco will come
but
on.
We'll Belichick see. Would use Fusco.
And Jeff Davidson, who's a Belichick guy, coached under Belichick, went and worked him out and came back and told Rick, I want this guy. They ended up and got
with
him.
With every controversial or 49/51% decision we have, just sit back in the room, guys, and say, what would Belichick do?
Right.
And this is no disrespect to our favorite team and our favorite people. He's Bill freaking Belichick, okay? His right tackle started playing football at age 17, from Germany, went to the University of Houston, his punter's of Romanian descent, and he picked Rob Gronkowski after Gronkowski had a back injury at Arizona and missed his entire junior year.
Yep.
Belichick would start Fusco and just roll with it.
And his tight end was the leading rusher in a playoff game. And his wide receivers play defensive back.
There you go.
And he has Tom Brady, so almost all of that might not even matter, because when you have Tom Brady, I mean, that's the thing. Spielman will look awfully smart if Ponder becomes you know, a potential Pro Bowler.
Everybody calm down.
You calm down.
Also, Chris DeGear. I don't want to forget about him, because I remember in 2010, after that disease season, Chris DeGear was playing at the end of the season, and after a game, I know that Rick was really impressed with one game that Chris DeGeer had, and they had high hopes for him coming into last season.
Bears game, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and Spielman loved it. He had a great game. It didn't work out. Some things went pear-shaped, and he wasn't great for the Vikings last year, but he's another guy who's going to be in that training camp rotation.
Right.
Could win a job.
No
but
kidding.
Segueing to a similar topic, guys that you can scrape by with, and Paul and I talk about this a lot, you cannot have an all-pro guy at every spot. When you look at the Vikings roster, whether they're scheduled to be UFAs and we're going to re-sign them, or if they're even if they're under contract,
right.
What are some of those guys that we're going to have to scrape by with at certain positions because we want to save some money to go and get some free agents? I'm thinking Aaron Henderson, Hussein Abdullah, Brandon Fusco, a couple of guys that you think we're going to be able to scrape by with that are going to be, their career paths are on the way up, and we're going to stick with them as starters.
Excellent question, Wobby.
I think you bring up safety. That's one area that I think that they can scrape by on because, I mean, look at their track record. They haven't really invested in a safety very much. I know Madu Williams was a pretty expensive contract, but that didn't work out, obviously. And, you know, they drafted Tyrell Johnson, but they've never really invested in a safety, I think, because in this market, you invest in cornerbacks right now. And I think that's what they'll do this free agency. You spend on corner, you spend on receiver. Safety you can get by on. I mean, look at guard. We're talking about the guard position. They're obviously going to scrape by there because they don't. I don't think they're going to go get Carl Nix or Ben Grubbs. Okay,
right.
You know, they're going to go with what they have, and then obviously if they draft Khalil, they can build around him.
Yeah,
you know, he's the guy that will kind of change everything and dictate the future of that offensive line.
Jeremy Fowler, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com in studio. He tweets. If you don't follow him, please follow him now. It is at Vikings Now. At Vikings Now, absolutely on top of all the information, positively or negatively. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com in studio, and I'm Paul Allen. When we return, we'll cut loose with some feasible names that fit the themes of 2012 Minnesota Vikings football. Free agency begins tomorrow. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
You're listening to PA.
Suck it up. Don't be a baby.
On the Fan.
All right, be prepared for our KFAN.com bracket challenge. You can fill out your bracket beginning yesterday. So today it's up and running at KFAN.com. The teams have been announced. 68 of them are in, and you could win prizes like an HD TV, a LASIK procedure, and great prizes courtesy of Diet Dew. The bracket challenge is presented by Guinness, Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care, and Diet Dew. KFAN.com, keyword bracket. Fill yours out right now.
Yep, KFAN.com, 2012 College Basketball Bracket Challenge. Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, Jeremy Fowler, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press in studio. You guys are eligible to go to KFAN.com and play the 2012 College Basketball Bracket Challenge if you want. It's free.
Think we're not.
Who would you pick to win the NCAA tournament?
I would pick Kentucky.
Do you have an opinion?
Mizzou.
Microphone.
Oh.
Thank you, honey.
Missouri, baby.
You'd pick Missouri to win the
Missouri.
Whole thing?
They feel slighted. They want to be a number one seed. They're a two. They can shoot it. They're quick off the dribble down the court. I mean, you know, fast breaking all game. I love Missouri.
It's your opportunity to win a new television via the 2012 College Basketball Bracket Challenge. Prizes include HD TV and LASIK procedure, courtesy of Guinness and Whiting Clinic. Wow. So we're tying together a TV with new eyes and beer. Nice. Diet Mountain Dew mini fridge. It's sake. It's free to enter. It's very popular. By far the most popular college basketball bracket challenge you will find in the Upper Midwest, and also the most well put together. So go to KFAN.com and play for free the 2012 College Basketball Bracket Challenge at KFAN.com. I don't know if do you want to predict names? Do you want to predict themes for the Vikings? Because, again, Wobby and I, when we've been doing this weekly since the end of the season and through the combine and stuff like this, and, you know, Mike a couple of weeks ago came up in impassioned fashion, too, just cut me off, stopped me in the middle of a long-winded diatribe and said, Paul, 2012 is all about Christian Ponder. I mean, it's not necessarily you need to figure out exactly if he belongs in the NFL because he belongs. But you got to put enough around him to give him a more fair chance to succeed at the level that they believe he can. So now, if you believe Matt Khalil, that beast from USC is the third overall pick, and I think we all do, you got that. Charlie Johnson, left guard. You get younger there. That plays into the youthful theme. I'm staying thematic here because I see things developing through free agency in the draft. Clearly, they're very high on Sullivan, and insiders call him top five, top seven center in the entire NFL. So now you're going to have a question mark at right guard. It might be Fusco. It might be Berger. It might be somebody they draft who jumps up and wins a job out of the fourth round. Loadholt's in a contract year. Big year for Phil Loadholt to get his next deal. Davidson, a full offseason to work with him. Mike and I chat with Jeff frequently. The Jeff Davidson is more excited to work this offseason with Phil Loadholt. Jeff Davidson told me on Vikings Live at Winter Park last year, then elaborated a little bit on it after the radio show, that he takes responsibility for Phil's inconsistencies last year. And it really bugged Jeff that he did not get out of Phil every single game that he wanted. So I think Jeff is taking that personally, and Loadholt is going to be his absolute A-talker topic this offseason.
And he's been in the facility the last 3 weeks. Phil has.
Yep, and Phil lives locally. Phil stayed locally. Yep. Phil's in a contract year.
Yep.
I'm not going to guarantee it's going to go the right way, but Phil is doing all the right things to make it go the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got Rudolph in the second year. Got to figure the other tight end situation out, obviously. Percy Harvin. Now, Jenkins off injury. Yeah, I'm virtually sure Jenkins will be on the team next year, but if they do something in free agency with multiple receivers and they need to find money, I mean, there's nobody on this offense outside of skill position-wise. Harvin, Rudolph, Ponder, Peterson, Gerhardt, who can be cut. Okay, anybody can be cut. That means Michael Jenkins. That means Devin Aromashadu, we're not bringing you back, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So now we get to free agency, and now we keep the youthful theme in play off what you said earlier. I know for a fact that the Vikings not only had interest in trading for Vincent Jackson a couple of seasons ago, but also did some intel on him while at the combine with the who, what, where, when, and why of where he stands. Maybe just cursory, maybe trying to send a smoke signal to other teams that they're going to push all the chips in on Jackson, and he will get the most chips of all the wide receivers. And it could be $20 million guaranteed or above. It could be.
I think it'll be above.
Okay, it'll be above.
Look at Sidney Rice got almost that. And you know, Vincent Jackson's been more accomplished.
That's nasty.
And last year, with the way the draft's going now, with Cam Newton getting $25 million at the one, Ponder got like 9, 10, 11, whatever that was at the 12, you can spend more money in free agency and validate it. That's why in most years, Sidney would have gotten 14 or 15 guaranteed. Right. He got 18.
Yeah.
Same thing's going to happen this year. But with the youthful theme off the cuts of the weekend, I've changed my free agency focus because I did not think they would cut both Hutchinson and Herrera.
Right.
So clearly, you can call it rebuilding, call it retooling, reconstructing, whatever you want to call it. They are going young all over this team. I draw a line through Vincent Jackson now.
Yeah.
29 years of age.
Right.
When they tried to trade for him, the all-in bit was in play with Favre here.
Right.
I draw a line through Vincent Jackson. I don't think they'll go after him, and you know, but I do believe they'll go after a wide receiver.
Right, and I'm with you with Vincent Jackson, although he would be the prototypical guy to compliment Percy Harvin. Do you really want to get in a bidding war with a team like Tampa Bay that has $60 million in cap space?
Nope.
And this guy, for the last 2 years, the way he's been treated in San Diego, he wants to validate his skills with a huge deal. And I just don't know if you want to get in a bidding war when you can spend wisely to get somebody else. You know, I mean,
well, define spend wisely, because you also last segment said they may push all the money in on one guy in free agency.
Well, maybe not all the money, but they'll go after one big fish and then build around. You got to remember, and I think Spielman's probably thinking this, that the middle tier guys seem to have taken a financial hit by the CBA. Look at like Stephen Tulloch, a very good linebacker, got what, a 1 year, $3 million deal last year. You can find some gems right there in the middle tier, guys that can come in and play right away for pretty cheap. So, you know, you maybe throw one big pot of money at a cornerback or a receiver, because those are just so valuable. I mean, they obviously have to do something there. They need somebody to take a five-yard hitch into a 60-yarder.
Yeah.
If you talk about helping Christian Ponder, that's the way to do it, even maybe more importantly than a tackle, although the only place you can find a good left tackle is in the draft, so I think that's a no-brainer. But receiver, you know, you could make an argument that that's their biggest need, even though cornerback was atrocious last year.
So then what I would do it off of what you just said, throw a lot of money at one player and then maybe a corner or a wide receiver and then go after some mid-tier guys at the other position. What I would want then
is... In free agency?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are seeing it. I don't think we have enough money to do all that.
Because what I would want to do then is...
Well, at least put some bids out to try to get the guys top three, feel them out. You know?
Stick my nose into Cortland Finnegan's business and see what's going on there, see who's competing with him.
Yep.
And then wide receivers... a Rick Spielman signing, to me, a classic free agent signing for Rick Spielman is coming off your rookie deal.
Yeah.
Career arc is ascending.
Yep, right.
You've been productive, and you've played in some important games.
Yeah.
And when I look at mid-tier wide receivers, there are three who come to mind, and I want to know who you like the most, right. Jeremy. Pierre Garçon, Manningham from the Giants, and the kid from New Orleans, Robert Meacham. Are those any of those three receivers, would they fit the bill for the Vikings in free agency?
I think they would all, question.
Yeah, all three of them would fit the bill. Just depends on who is the best fit. I'd take Manningham out. I think his value will be inflated by
Agreed.
That Super Bowl performance. He's been erratic all his career.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe Robert Meacham might be a guy they target because 16.1 yards per catch. Now, I know he's coming out of Drew Brees' offense, so that's the biggest question. Is he a byproduct of Brees' greatness, or is he, can he stand on his own as a guy who can get deep? But you got to remember, he's never had a season of more than 45 catches, but Drew Brees swears by him, so he'll be affordable. And that's important to remember here. I would maybe pick him as far as cost effectiveness as the number one guy there. Garçon, I could see him going with Manning. So, but I like him as well. His knock is the drops, but he's had some drops, but he can get downfield. I mean, they need somebody to stretch it vertically, and he could be a guy to do that. I take Meacham out of the three based on financial value
and
overall.
Another thing I like about Garçon is he had 70 catches last year, which was a career high for him without Peyton Manning.
With Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky and no running game. Are you kidding me?
You want to stretch the field, he's the guy to do it.
Yeah, the kid is from Mount Union. I think he was a 6th or 7th round pick.
Yep.
Came up, worked his way up, became a starter, joined the Colts in 08. Peyton Manning liked him. And, you said maybe he'll go with Peyton Manning. And people have said that about Dallas Clark and Reggie Wayne, too. So they all can't go with him.
That's
so if Pierre is one who doesn't and he ended up here, I think that would be terrific for the Vikings.
Yeah, it's a good fit, and he might be just affordable enough. I mean, that's the thing. I just don't – when I say go in on one big fish, I'm thinking you could even consider Garçon or Manningham, just one of the top 5-6 receivers they have to throw some money at. I mean, Vincent Jackson, like you said, I mean, he might be 50, 60 million in a total deal or more. I mean, you just don't know. He's out to get money. I just don't know if that's worth it. But they're going to go after one of the top 5 or 6 receivers, and they have to at this point to make some kind of statement to help Christian.
I don't think this counter Trey offensive analysis is completely seeing it clearly right now with the whole affordability angle.
Yes, Paul.
Because we have to remember, and this is with all due respect, love you, getting to know you better. Free agency dollars are bigger than you're going to think they are, man.
Yeah.
And who's to say somebody is wrong
right.
if they look at Pierre Garçon at this stage of his deal, off a 70-some-odd catch season from Curtis freaking Painter and Dan Orlovsky, and they say, I believe this is a number one receiver, and I believe the best way to get him is to empower him and build him up and bring him here Tuesday or Wednesday and say, you're going to get deals all over the NFL, and they're going to try to nickel and dime you because you're Pierre Garçon from Mount Union. We're going to give you $18 million guaranteed because we believe you are a number one receiver, and here's how we're going to structure the deal. And if you leave here, that same deal will not be here tomorrow. So if you think you can get better, then go dabble. But we're going to spend money on one guy, and it's going to be you because that's what we think of you. And I believe if we do it that way with that mid-tier guy, Jeremy and Wobby, you guys brought up the right names, in my opinion. Manningham's going to make about $2 million more than he should make simply because of that one catch. And Meacham, I've been on Meacham's jock for the last week and change as a secondary guy. After a little intel and recon this weekend, straight line guy, not the greatest hands in the world. And, Garçon just does more, but he's going to cost more. He's going to cost dramatically more. I think Pierre Garçon is going to command a big deal on the free agent market off what he did last year, where he is in his career. He's big and he's fast. And there are some who think he's Vincent Jackson with the build and the speed from Vincent Jackson 5-6 years ago.
Right.
That's worthy of 15 to 18 million guaranteed if you believe it's going to be that. And I hope that that's who they identify. And with 2012, again, themes here. 2012 is all about Ponder. It fits. 2012 is all about youthful approach with talent. It fits. Pierre Garçon, bonjour.
Here's the thing. Another thing off of your point, Paul, and I think you bring up a good point about being aggressive with your first choice. And I'll be interested, Jeremy, to hear what you have to say about this. With free agency starting as late as it is, almost more than a week later than it usually does, I think teams and agents have had a lot of time to talk with each other, and agents have had enough time to figure out the market that I think on Tuesday at 3 Central, there's going to be a ton of deals announced. So if you go after a guy right away, like a Pierre Garçon, and he's looking at his phone and checking Twitter and seeing that all of his other cohorts in free agency are also signing deals, he might be more willing to sign with the first team he talks to. I just think there's going to be a bunch of deals that happen right at Tuesday because we've had so long between the combine and free agency.
Yeah, I mean, these teams were getting busy, you know, maybe talking behind the scenes at the Combine Indy, so it's been weeks in the making. Here's my thing, and Paul, you make a great point. I think, you know, they've been aggressive in the past going after players, and sometimes you have to take chances, especially when you need a receiver. They have so many needs, though. It's not like this is a team that's one or two players away, okay? They're eight or nine players away.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aaron Henderson, I think, is a guy they can get done, but he's going to cost at least some money. He might be affordable, but you know, you're still looking at maybe 3 years at, say, $12 million or whatever it is. So you have a need at linebacker still. Greenway's really the only guy you have returning there. Cornerback, I mean, you simply need help there. So, I think one of the middle-tier receivers will be smart because at least you can give yourself a little more room to spend elsewhere. You know, if a guy wants $20-22 million guaranteed a receiver, I just don't know if you can do it based on this crop.
We're operating from 3-13 here, too. We have to keep that in mind.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. You have eight or nine needs, positional needs. You need a second tight end.
Yep, and I don't want to be – I want the Redskins, man. What I appreciate so much about the Redskins' approach, and if they're wrong, they're wrong, and Daniel Snyder just screwed himself for 5 years.
Right.
Shanahan gone, whole thing dead if RG3 can't play.
Right.
But he took a stand. Let's take a stand here, man. Let's not, Wobby's been on this for 3 weeks to a month. Let's not try to fix everything at once, okay? Let's find a receiver you think is hitting the right time of their career and is a little underappreciated. Overpay them because you're going to have to sell the 3-13. Boy, what an easy conversation this is with Pierre. Hey, Pierre, Rick Spielman, how you been? 70 receptions was something called Painter and Orlovsky last year. Well done. Even though we have a second-year quarterback with a 50% completion percentage and a running back coming off an ACL and three-fifths of the new offensive line is going to be good and the tight end Shanko is going to leave, we'd love for you to come play for us.
Don't be so negative!
You see, that now takes, if he's going to get 13, 14, or 15, no, you're getting 18 here. If we have 23, you're getting 18. And that's it. And then we roll, then we got the five for walking around money, you know, just in case you need to piece, well, you'll have to piece some things together. That's what I want the approach to be, and the only guy to look at that fits all of the themes, 2012 being about Ponder, and youthful exuberance and talent is Pierre Garçon. Bonjour.
He's a guy with some drops, though, you got to remember. And last time I paid a big-time receiver, Bernard Berrien, I mean, we saw how that worked out. I like Garçon, but you better be sure. That's what I'm saying. You better know that this guy can come in and produce immediately.
Well,
I think he can, but, you know, with those drops, they might worry me a little bit. You know, Berrien had the drops, too. They relied strictly on him going downfield. It didn't work out. Paid him a lot of money.
Finnegan, Cortland Finnegan. You know, there once was a cornerback named Finnegan, and he guarded receivers again and again.
I always loved that one.
He's going to get 10 to 12, guaranteed. Okay, somewhere around there. But see, teams have inside tracks to him.
Right.
Teams that are better than us, at least one of them. The Lions, Jim Schwartz, inside track to there once was a corner named Finnegan. Jeff Fisher, now in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Cortland Finnegan and Jeff Fisher were extremely close before Jeff left. I think St. Louis has the inside track to there once was a corner named Finnegan. So I draw a line through him, even though he fits part of the themes. 2012 about Ponder, theme, young, youth, and replenishing. Pierre Garçon just fits the whole thing, man. But like Jeremy said, you got to be right. If you're wrong, you spend all your free agency money on one guy. But we're not coming into the freaking season with Percy Harvin. I know Camarillo's gone, but a Camarillo type, a Roma Shadoo, Jenkins. You got one tight end in his second year. You got to get splashy on a wide receiver in free agency. And it's not going to be Jackson. He doesn't fit the bit. Either does Brandon Lloyd, who's going to New England.
Right.
Either does Marcus Colston. He's got a knee, and he's also up there, and he doesn't blow the top
off. He's a slot guy.
He's a slot guy like but Pierre Garçon can get down the field fast, and he's strong. And then, with the 35th overall pick in the draft, you take a cornerback, who has to play right now. That's the deal. When you take your guy at 35, the corner, if it's your guy from South Carolina or whoever, he walks in the building and welcome. You're starting day one and playing every snap. Welcome to the show.
And cornerback for the Vikings is going to be a spot, especially in today's NFL, Jeremy, where you got 5,000-yard passers, multiple ones. You need more than just two starting corners. You need three or four starting caliber corners. So even if the Vikings took Morris Claiborne, which I don't think they're going to do, or if they do take the kid from South Carolina, the kid from Nebraska, whoever it might be, the Janoris Jenkins, whoever it might be, you still are going to need more. It's still going to be a need. Cornerback is going to take more than one offseason to replenish on this roster. I think it's more important and it's more economical and easier to make a big difference in 1 year at wide receiver, even if it's in the draft. I think second, third, fourth round wide receivers in this draft is awesome. And the
corners, a lot of depth.
Yep. With the receivers we mentioned, mid-tier receivers in the free agent market, I think are really good. I think the wide receiver position is going to make a bigger jump for the Vikings this offseason than corners.
The thing is, though, no team in the NFL punctuated the need for depth at corner last year more than the Vikings, who haven't had interceptions since 1946. Oof. I mean, this is a team that, you know, they were built around Griffin, Cook, and Winfield. Yeah. If they were all healthy, hey, in a perfect world, maybe they can do some damage.
Yeah.
And you have to have backups to those players who were ready to step in. They just didn't have that. I mean, you had Mistral Raymond and Benny Sapp. I mean, it was just a complete mess. Those guys just weren't ready to play.
Yep.
Raymond could be good in the future, but... You know, maybe put a feeler out for Brandon Carr with the Chiefs, who played pretty well against them in Week 4 last year. You know, I think that that's a guy they would at least look into, although the problem is you bring up Finnegan and you bring up Brandon Carr. Those guys are really going to get paid. I just don't know
if
it's worth it.
Fit half the theme.
Right. Well,
that's assuming my theme is right.
Carr's 27.
But the Ponder thing. You can't.
Right.
You have to.
You start there.
You have to do something. You took him 12th overall.
Right.
He couldn't stay on the field, but the first five, he wanted Charlotte. And he looked good in the Green Bay game, looked decent in the Denver game, looked pretty good in the Oakland game until the two picks, or the bad one at the end, looked okay at Atlanta. Christian was on his way to doing some good things. Then he got banged around. Then the options diminished. The 2012 Vikings and Chris Cook's inclusion in the secondary. Jeremy Fowler from the Parent Pioneer Press will offer his opinions on that when we return.
You're listening to PA.
I think as far as physical ability, he's in a class by himself. Size, power, speed. I don't know if I've ever seen that combination.
On the Fan.
Yes, it's National Football League free agency tomorrow, 3 o'clock Cornfields time. Take your pick. Who do you like? Help could be on the way.
Why you in so much hurry? Is it really worth the worry? Look around. Then slow down.
All right, don't forget Thursday, 9 to noon productions, my radio show. Broadcast live from Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights. It's the 9 to noon draw party. Draw a team in the NCAA tournament. You could win an HD TV courtesy of Dos Equis. Every team drawn also receives a free haircut from Sport Clips. KFAN.com, keyword events for the details. Here's the skinny. Thursday at Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights, and Friday at Maynard's in Minnetonka. You will draw the teams, you will take in the radio show, and we will crack open the NCAA tournament because 32 of you will receive a team. If your team wins the NCAA tournament, you win a high-definition television courtesy of Dos Equis. That is Thursday from 9 until noon, Lucky 13's in Mendota Heights, 9 to noon style. WabiVikings.com, Jeremy Fowler, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, and at Vikings Now in studio. The developments with the Chris Cook case. Jeremy, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm still a little surprised that this went to trial. I mean, you would think with a lot of these cases, you know, they would want it to dissipate, so they would just come to some kind of no contest plea. But here we are with all these details coming out about strip clubs and, you know, who choked who. I mean, it's such a mess. I mean, the Vikings clearly wanted this to go away by paying him his salary last year and just let this slowly go away, and then he can bring him back to the team. I mean, that, you know, they won't say that, but that's obviously the play here.
But didn't it have to go to trial?
It's getting ugly. I guess so. I mean, maybe I'm missing something here. But
well, from what I understand with Minnesota law is that after somebody sees what they claim they saw and somebody says they claim now they didn't say, in Minnesota gets involved, the state now, prosecution gets involved, and it goes to trial, no matter if somebody comes up 2 hours later and says, no, I was lying, I fell, and blah, blah, blah.
When I used to cover the Florida Gators, you know, where crime was pretty prevalent among football players, these things always went away. No contest pleas, community service, probation, okay, we're done.
Yep.
This is a little different, so now it's in the public eye, and all these details are coming out. You know, the damage control... the Vikings, I would assume, are just hoping is minimal. I mean, obviously they want what's best for Chris, but, you know, people want this to go away, and, you know, it's not happening. It's such a unique situation because it's such a serious matter, and you just have to let this play out. I mean, there's just a lot of patience involved right now. You know, we just have to kind of wait for the verdict here, but the details, I don't think, are really helping anybody.
Yeah. Well stated.
I'm not going to get my Albert Breer on this one and investigate it and report on it and follow it. I'm just going to wait till it's done and see what the ramifications are for the football team.
Me too.
I think that whether this thing gets solved today and Chris Cook is in Winter Park working out tomorrow with Tom Canavy and the strength staff and getting ready for the season, or if Chris Cook isn't on the team next year, no matter which way it happens or if it's anywhere in between, cornerback is still a need for the Vikings.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
You can never have too many.
Right. If for whatever the case, they kick Chris Cook off the team for what he may or may not have done,
right.
I can't believe the girl. I mean, it's the girl said one thing and now the girl changes her story. So now all that credibility in my eyes is right. Gone. So I'm sure something happened and it was probably pretty bad, but the case is going to play out the way it does, and none of us were there, and you know, we're just going to have to let it play out, like Wobby said. From my standpoint, if they kick Chris off the team because they feel that's right, I'm fine with it. If Chris comes back and serves a suspension, it's not like I'm not going to call the games or root for the team.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to root for that individual, but nevertheless, if he's part of the team, he's part of the team. And I you know, from an organizational standpoint, man, I'd probably just want this thing to go away, like you said, Jeremy.
Right. And you have to remember the NFL ramifications, too. How are they going to get involved? Like you mentioned, I mean, there could be some sort of 4-game suspension, yeah. You know, based on past track records. You know, the NFL is not afraid to intervene here. So even if they get him back, I mean, he could be missing for a certain amount of time.
Yep.
The Vikings could implement their own kind of suspension.
Yep.
But, you know, the Vikings took a stand here, whether they want to say it or not, by paying his salary,
yep.
Sending a message that this guy's going to be back. And, you know, there were maybe some reports early on that you know, players weren't crazy about this, or at least it kind of set the wrong precedent. So you're all in with Chris Cook, you know, almost regardless of what happens at this trial. You can move on, but, you know, you took a stand, and now you got to follow through with it.
I had an email this morning, and Baby Joe Nelson, the producer of the 9 to Noon show, told me somebody went to reporting over the weekend, and if it was you, I'm not going to take a shot at you. It's my opinion against your opinion, blah, blah, blah. Did you or somebody report that the Vikings and Aaron Henderson are close to coming together on a deal? I couldn't see it anywhere any more differently right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I had reported maybe midweek that they were, you know, things, there was no formal offer, but right. I think that there was some encouragement.
Okay.
But whether it gets done before tomorrow, that's still yet to be unseen. I think that...
It won't be done before tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if he hits the open market, too, somebody could throw an obscene amount of money at him. I mean, I don't think the Vikings are going to get into a bidding war, but
correct.
From what I understand, he wants to be here to the point where somebody would have to throw a very large pot of money at him to go elsewhere.
Yep.
And, you know, he's at that stage in his career where he had one pretty good year, but it was still in somewhat of a two-down role. So I don't think he's established enough yet to get an obscene amount of money. So I think that's why it makes the deal somewhat easy to make. But like you said, I mean, if we're talking about the Vikings going after a Pierre Garçon or even a Vincent Jackson, Brandon Carr, you know, they're not going to throw a lot of money at him. It's got to be, you know, there's got to be some level playing fields here. But I think Spielman and maybe his agency have a pretty good relationship. I think they can work something out.
I'd bet he's gone.
Really?
And I'd bet he's gone because I envision the majority of the focus going towards one game changer in free agency.
Right.
I also envision, and
but you still have $23 million in cap space. You can still get something done. I mean,
they
can kind of hide the money for future years, maybe.
Yeah, I mean that's a little tricky and a little difficult with Percy Harvin's deal coming up
too.
That's
a good point.
And you got to completely pay off now. We got to get Adrian Sullivan, Greenway, all those things kicking.
They're going to escalate. Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, it's I'm again in the camp of I don't want to tinker with a bunch of things. I want to do one thing that you tell me is eye-opening. If it's Pierre Garçon, great. I think it should be off the way I've built up the themes of 2012 being about Ponder and youth. I think it should be Garçon. But see, now it's their opinion. You know, it's we feel this will work here, and this is the guy, and we're overpaying, and we want him, and why? And now we watch the games and see if they're right. But
right.
But from this standpoint with Aaron... you know, Aaron has been a weekly guest on my radio show for 3 years. Comes in on Tuesdays. Really, really good vibe with him and everything.
Yeah.
I hope Aaron stays here. But, you know, my intel indicates that there could be a team out there that gives him $3 or $4 million a year. And,
yeah.
as I tried to tell Rubes all during the course of the season, but the idiots would say, no, you only say that because he's your friend and he comes in studio.
Right.
Aaron's instincts are extremely good. Mm-hmm. There was a website called Pro Football Focus, a well-respected insider's website for National Football League speculation that had him as one of the best linebackers in the entire NFL because of his instincts and how he was always around the ball. So he's going the right way, but you can't deny that speed is his asset. Instincts, those are his assets. Taking on those squatty little fullbacks and guards, Aaron really struggles with that. I just don't know if it's worth $3 or $4 million. He's my guy. I hope he's back, but I think it's a long shot at this point.
Yeah, and I hope he is too. I hope he sticks around. I like having Aaron around and the Foundation 50 and the whole bit, and he's a good dude. I think another thing working against him, guys, is the Vikings are going to go with Brian Robinson again at defensive end. They're going to work Christian Ballard in there. They like DeAndre Reed. They're probably going to draft the defensive end because we have 10 picks.
Right.
And I think they want to use Everson Griffin more. And I don't know how they're going to do that. What I would like to see them at least try.
Stand him up on the outside.
I want to see him try it. If you lose Aaron, if you can't get him, I would like to see the Vikings try Everson Griffin at linebacker. Even if it's OTA's mini camp, training camp, if it doesn't work out, we'll move him back.
They tried it for a week, though, in the offseason or in the preseason.
But it was
so Singletary got so sick of him that they put him back to defense.
Yes, and it was just so midstream.
That might be your problem there.
And it was on a whim. But I think if it's organized and if you orchestrate it and you start it now and train him all offseason, because I think there's depth on the defensive line. We had a whole bunch of sacks. There's no problems there, especially at defensive end with B-Rob and with Ballard. I think we're going to draft one. DeAndre Reed, no one heard about him last year. He was a draft pick. I think he has a chance. I want to see Everson on the field more, and I think standing him up might be a way to do it.
Right, and you got to find a way to get him on the field because he is talented, and you're right. If he's playing behind Robinson, he's not going to get a whole lot of snaps.
Right.
Here's the thing at linebacker, though. I think Aaron has leverage, which maybe could stunt a deal happening, but he has leverage because you can't just go into the season with Chad Greenway being your only returning linebacker. I mean, I guess you can, but you got to fill a couple more spots.
Why not?
You can maybe draft a guy. But
the youthful theme.
Yeah, but EJ's not coming back, and Aaron's a young guy that you need there. I mean, linebacker's important for this team, and to come back with Greenway and then just a couple throw-ins, I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Jasper, if he would have played a full season at middle linebacker, maybe we'll have a different conversation right now.
Okay, but again, Aaron's my guy, and I love him, and if he were in here, I would say the exact same thing. Two elite football minds here who watch all the games, you can't possibly think Aaron Henderson's better on special teams than Everson Griffin.
No.
Everson Griffin led the Vikings in special teams tackles most of the year.
And he played gunner on punt team, by the way.
Okay, and he plays gunner on punt team at that size.
Yeah.
So that sways the way of Everson. Now, from a linebacker standpoint, nobody thought the undrafted kid from Maryland would emerge to become a $2-4 million a year kind of guy with a new deal. Everson was taken in the fourth round. He's supposed to be that guy.
Defensive end.
But it comes back to the opinions in the middle of the draft by the new general manager sticking now. When Everson stood up last year and kind of prowled around a little bit, I thought it was fine, man. It completely changed one game. Might have been against the Lions early in the year. Threw Stafford off for 2.5 quarters, and it worked. And I think Everson would be fine in that spot. And back to what Jeremy said, you brought up the name Mike Singletary. That's a troublesome, problematic name for me because I can't get anybody to tell me exactly what he does, why he's on the staff, and exactly what his role is. Your defensive coordinator is Alan Williams. Your linebackers coach is Fred Puggage.
Right.
We got the assistant to the head coach bit. I don't know. When you say Singletary had this opinion in the preseason, and I don't know Mike well at all, and really, with all due respect to everybody involved, I don't really care what his opinion is right now. Because if he was supposed to be the defensive coordinator, he would have gotten it. If he was supposed to be the linebackers coach, he would have kept it. Something weird is going on with this thing, and it really bugs me.
Right. Well, one thing to remember is Singletary signed a 2-year deal, like most of their assistants do. And it's been obvious the last two off seasons, come January, the Vikings are trying to tread water carefully because they don't want to have to pay guys out the door if they're still under contract. I'm not saying that's the only reason he stayed. I mean, he and Les are tight. And, you know, he did coach the linebackers last year. I think he has something to offer from a motivational standpoint. I don't know if schematically if he's the guy.
I didn't see it last year.
Right. But, you know, the only reason why I had input with Everson is because he was the linebackers coach. Puggish was the defensive coordinator. So there at least was some hierarchy there.
Yeah.
But now you're right. It's kind of this muddled situation on defense. You know, what's his role? I mean, yeah, he's going to help less. I think it's going to be just more from a motivational standpoint.
Yeah.
Maybe speaking before games. I don't know. But if he would have become defensive coordinator, I knew some people who would have had an issue with it.
Well, I ain't paying somebody $1 million or whatever he makes right. to do the pregame speech.
Right. But he's under contract. They didn't want to pay him to walk out the door.
Yeah, I know, but I still can't figure out what he does. Anyway, man, I don't care what A.J. Mansoor, Mike Wobshaw, Dan Wiederer, or Ray Richardson said about your in-studio performance today. I think you did a really good job.
I always love that one.
Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime.
Jeremy Fowler, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. He tweets, it is at Vikings Now. You know I'm going to be tapping on you all week, Wobby, so stay by your phone.
I'll be there.
When we return, find out exactly how the Minnesota Wild lost a home game last night to the Calgary Flames. Mike Greenlay, the analyst for Fox Sports North, works with Dan Terhar on Wild television broadcasts. He's in studio.
You're listening to PA.
You come through and hit me, I'm gonna punch you in your wiener.
On the Fan.